What is going on, everybody? I gotta fix that. For some reason, it abruptly stops. What is happening? Welcome. It is Thursday, August 4th. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? It's August 4th. That is so mind-blowing to me. But we are back with another episode of Creating Daily. Thank you so much for being here. If you don't mind, hit that follow, share, like, all those little fun buttons. Give us a little thumbs up. Say hello in the chat. I see my friend Monty Weaver already jumping into the chat saying, hello, Creating Daily, nice microphone. And yeah, if you want this microphone, I'll just go ahead and pitch it. It's a limited edition brought to you by Shure. This is White Noir, and it is available. There we go, at billythorpe.live. So go to billythorpe.live. It'll take you to my Amazon store. You click on it, you buy it, and I'll make a little bit of commission when the thing ships to you, and you support the show that way. So thank you so much for doing that. Thanks, Monty, for the little shout-out there for the microphone, reminding me to promote it because I would have forgotten. And then also, I want to make sure I mention Ritual Motion, the sponsor of the show, the one, the only sponsor of the show. Ritual Motion is a live-streaming platform that holds a unique market position that is including the community, creator economy, and the emergence of Web3. So they're doing some really cool stuff for creators over on their platform. And what I really like about the platform is you can go live. You can either do what I do, and you can push your feed live to Ritual Motion. You can use their platform to go live and bring on guests. But the coolest part about it and the coolest feature is the networking feature. So when you're finished with the show, you can just turn on networking and then go behind the scenes with your audience, with your community, with your members, your paid members, all that kind of fun stuff. And you can also get like tips and all that fun stuff right on the platform. So go check it out if you haven't already, Ritual Motion. And they are dropping an NFT this month. So they're going to be introducing BlockBots NFT collection. So that's BlockBots.io. If you're interested, if you are wanting to get ahead of the game with those guys, they got some cool stuff dropping, and be sure to follow them on Twitter for more information about that. And I believe that is all the promotion stuff I have, but I really appreciate you guys joining. I'm super excited about today's guest. We got Zach Mitchum from We Are Video Makers, and he just dropped a new podcast today, made it official today, so I'm excited to talk to him about that as well. And we're going to nerd out on some gear, just a little bit, just a little tiny bit. We're not going to get too crazy with it, but we are going to nerd out on some gear and talk about how you as a content creator can level up. You as a video creator, podcaster, can do some really minute things, but will make a world of difference. And so I'm really curious. I met Zach. Well, I guess I found Zach. I'm going to say I discovered him on Amazon Live. I was watching, and I do watch some of his videos, and he has some really good gear review videos over there, and we'll talk about it. What's up, Gabe? Jumped in over here. Appreciate you, man. Gabe's been working on a new show, doing a lot of tests live, so go check him out as well. All right, so let's go ahead and bring on the guest, the man of the hour, Zach Mitchum. What is going on, my guy? How are you?
Good. How are you doing? I'm glad to be here.
And I'm doing good. I'm having fun. I'm set up in my funny little green screen here that I love so much.
It's awesome.
Yeah, man, it's fun, dude. So, dude, let's kick this thing off, first of all, because I haven't really met you. I don't really know your backstory at all. I don't typically ask this question because I'm better at researching and finding out on my own. But I want to give you an opportunity just real quick to kind of tell us, how did Zach get into video, and how did you get into all this stuff that you're doing right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is a long story. I tell people all the time, I'm going to write a book one day. It's going to be called Accidentally on Purpose, because I just kind of follow things and accidentally the right thing happens. But I had an interest in video and audio. Like, it was very important to me very young. That was one of the things I wanted, was a video camera. We were poor, couldn't afford it. And I finally got one. But I mean, my son's, you know, toy camera has better resolution than that thing did. So, but I had fun with that, played with it. I actually recorded a YouTube video back in 2008. I never uploaded it though. Kind of regret that. I think my life would be a little different. But really what was happening is I was going to college to go to PA school, and I found a YouTuber and just started talking to him. I like to get to know why people do what they do. And he's like, well, I'm actually about to quit my job because it's replaced my six-figure income. I was like, wait, you only have 50,000 subscribers? He's like, yeah, I do. I'm like, okay, cool. Can I learn from you? He's like, yeah, sure. So I wrote some blogs, worked for some other YouTubers as well. And then when the pandemic hit, I was like, something's got to change, because what I was doing really died. I was selling bespoke suits, very, very expensive suits, and had done some social media for the company, but just really dove into YouTube, paid for some courses, some mentors. And then I reached out to some friends at YouTube channels and companies locally. I was like, hey, here's some tips. Like, oh, this is awesome. What do you charge? I'm like, oh, I, what do you mean? Like, well, your service, how much do you charge? I was like, okay, well, I charge this. And it was part-time work, and it was as much as I made at my best full-time job while I was in college. I was married, had kids, and so I was like, okay, well, this is awesome. And just kind of went down from there, well, up from there. Word of mouth, worked with bigger businesses, marketing agencies, Fortune 500 companies. And then now I'm a, you know, chief social media officer at Seller Universe, which is an agency. And so it just kind of kept going, and I was really, really obsessed with having the best looking and best sounding videos I possibly could. And I would get so many questions on what microphone should I buy? What camera? And so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to shift from the channel I was doing, which was, it's actually clothing reviews, to teaching people how to do well on video and YouTube and video podcasts.
Dude, I love that, man. I love the transition of, you know, kind of get, well, in the whole pandemic transition, I think that was like one of the, it was one of the most brutal times in a lot of people's lives, but it really set me up for success and what I really wanted to do. And so it was a really good, like, pause button to go, okay, what do you really want to do when you grow up? And so, yeah. But I love, as a content creator, man, that you can kind of go in into these different spaces from like, oh, I'm doing clothing, but then people are curious about how I'm doing what I'm doing. And now you are, you know, on Amazon Live. I know I see you on there. I don't know if it's daily or every other day, but you're on there quite often teaching people and educating them about products and different things that they can do to level up, to have the quality of video, to show up professional in front of these brands, to be able to get them to compensate, you know, them as a creator or you as a creator, and keep showing up that way. So I love what you're doing, man. I love that I met you finding you through Amazon Live. And then I'll jump over here real quick. It's always fun to see how people meet you. So here's Gabe saying he caught you on Fanny Dunnigan's live stream with Stephanie Liu. And so that's how he came to know about you. So
yeah, I appreciate that. Cool. I'm excited. We were in the chat, actually, is what it was. And then they actually invited me on to actually be on the show. So I was like, oh, cool. I was just trying to give some wisdom in the chat and ask me, man. So that's cool.
Dude, I love it, man. I love it. So let's dive into a little bit. What's one of the number one questions you get asked right now? Is it about your video, your lighting, your audio?
Yeah, I think there's probably two of them. The first one's always, what can I do to grow my YouTube channel?
Okay.
And then the second one is usually, how do I get my videos to look better? And or a version of that, what camera do I buy, what lighting? But it's usually just, they want their videos to look like mine, and they don't quite know what it takes to do that. So that's just like, how do I like them to look better? But I'd say those are usually the two that I get.
All right. Gotcha, man. So, all right. So give me your number one tip for YouTube growth, and then we'll jump into how do we make our video look better?
Yeah. So YouTube, preface this with, have good expectations of yourself. What people don't understand is at 1,000 subscribers, you're in the top 20% of all channels on planet Earth. And so when you're like, my channel's not doing that great, I only got 300 subscribers, 500 subscribers, something like that, you don't realize how close you are to being really, really high up there. Like 100,000 is the top 0.001% of all channels. Like you're doing better than you think you are. So typically when it's on YouTube, the number one tip I would have to say is make sure that you're answering a specific question. You know, all of your content, figure out what question you're the answer to and make content around that. If you are serving that purpose and really do something that, I don't know, lights your fire up, just makes you excited to make content, you'll get there, because all of the other things that are important, you know, getting in the reps so that your videos get better, practicing your content, practicing your voice, like all of these other things kind of take care of themselves. If you're really making content on something that you love and you enjoy and fulfills you, like if you have that instead of, well, how do I make more money? What do I need to talk about to make more money? Or what do I need to talk about to have more subscribers? Those things can work, but really at your core, you need to be serving a purpose. And if you'll do that, some of these other things will kind of take care of themselves.
Yeah, man, I love that answer. I think that's where I've had some success in the podcasting world, is really dialing in, like, who am I talking to and what am I talking about? And I think a lot of content creators and maybe a lot of business owners in general, I mean, maybe I won't say a lot. I'll say more content creators, because that's who I mess with. That's who I talk to a lot. And it's always like, well, if I'm only talking about this, then there's all these other millions of people that might need to know about this. I'm like, yeah, but those aren't your millions of people. Those are somebody else's. So, like, focus on, you know, what you're trying to accomplish. And so I love that advice, man. So, and that seems to be across the board with podcasting, with live streaming, with all this kind of stuff. But real quick, before we jump into, I keep rabbit trailing you off, dude, because I want to talk about your new podcast that you're doing, because you just told me you made it official. So I guess if it's official enough to announce on this show, I'd love to help you promote it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So I've called it Branding with Video, kind of taking all the experience that I've had with past clients. Most of my clients have been, you know, they have a video podcast of some sort, or they're trying to use YouTube to build their authority and, you know, really become an expert in their space, in their industry. And what I love about that is, it's like you said, you don't need to have millions of followers. You don't need to have hundreds of thousands. You know, recently I've pivoted into this. I've had this experience for a few years now, but I've pivoted to being, you know, specialized for creators, business owners, thought leaders who want to create videos to build their authority. And I thought it would have been kind of limiting, because I'm going from a big group to a small group, but now the YouTube experts, and they are experts, but they have hundreds of thousands or millions of followers. I'm not competing with them anymore. I am very, very specific, and I'm the person in this space. Maybe there's another person in the space that I don't know them. And so I'm using the podcast to, you know, once a week, give just a solo podcast of like, hey, top three tips or top three biggest mistakes I see, you know, people making on YouTube when they're trying to grow, or how the YouTube algorithm works, or how to make more content out of your video podcasts more easily. In fact, I just created it's a small course. It's free. It's a gift, we can mention at the end, but it's like 30 minutes to teach you how to make 10 videos in 90 minutes a week from your video podcast. And then the other side of this is I bring on guests who have built their business using social media. I had Chris Doe on. He has 2 million subscribers on YouTube, and I think his total audience is like 4 million across platforms, but it wasn't that way 10 years ago. Like, he built a very, very successful business, and it's become exponentially more successful as he's used social. And so he's just one of the examples, but, you know, the second show of the week is to try to have a guest on every week. At, you know, maybe not Christo caliber. I wish I could, you know, always have someone at the caliber, but there's something to learn from everyone, and there's something that they've done, and, you know, to have them on once a week.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. So everybody go right now to your, is it on Apple? Is it available everywhere right now?
It should be available everywhere. I just literally posted it. It's been maybe an hour now. It for sure is on Apple right now. It's Branding with Video.
Okay, cool.
But it should be everywhere else. I'm going to start doing the video podcast to Spotify. I don't know how many people actually watch video podcasts instead, you know, outside of like YouTube, but
yeah,
we'll put it up there.
I don't know. I watch like Joe Rogan sometimes on Spotify.
Yeah.
But because I have to, otherwise I'd be watching on YouTube. So, so I don't know. But in Gabe, we'll put the link once we mention it. We'll put the link to the mini course in the show notes afterward, because I don't have it available or I'd post it right now. So man, I guess we did say we talked about gear. So I'll stop talking about podcasting for a second, video, and we'll kind of jump into some gear. So out of all the stuff that we can talk about, we got lights, we got cameras, we got microphones, we got headphones, we got all this stuff that we can talk about. What do you feel like as a content creator is the most important thing out of all of those first? Like if I was just bare bones, I'm just getting started today, what should I focus on before anything else?
It's definitely sound, definitely the microphone. My first 60 videos on YouTube were made with a smartphone. It was an iPhone 11, so an older, I mean, not older, but not a great smartphone as far as the camera and sound. The sound was far more important. So if you're just getting started, get a good microphone. In fact, I would say if you're like, oh, I've got a small budget, you know, smaller, maybe $800,000, like total, I can't spend any more. That's like pushing it. I would say spend maybe half of that on sound and just save up for a camera later. Like, you don't need a camera right now. But if I can't listen to your videos without like just ear fatigue, then you're not going to get very far. So definitely get a good microphone. Definitely get a good audio setup.
Yeah, man, that's what I always recommend that too. And I do recommend too, like, you don't have to go out and buy an SM7B or whatever. Like, yeah. go buy something like this. Like, this is a $249 microphone. You can use it with USB, so you don't have to have an additional like interface or all that. And it's more fun. Trust me. Like, I don't need all this stuff in my studio, but I just love having it. Like, it's a lot of fun. But necessary stuff, I'm with you. It's like, get a nice microphone, use the phone on your camera, or use the camera on your phone, that type of stuff. So what microphones, like beginner microphones, would you recommend? Yeah. Or maybe I'm thinking too slender. Maybe I don't know of another product out there, but because I always go to USB microphones.
Yeah. No, I think USB is a good option. I don't love it because the sound quality isn't as great, but if you're just getting started into this and you're not sure if you're going to do this long term, it will give you 90, 95% of the result for a lot less money. So I think that's a great option. The other thing to think about is, like, what kind of show are you having? If you're doing like a live stream while you're cooking or demonstrating something, you probably want something more like the Rode Go2 is a good option. I have a set of those. And is the sound quality the best? No, but I can get up, I can move, I could draw on a whiteboard. You can do whatever you need to do that way. If you are going to sit at a desk, though, I do recommend getting some sort of diaphragm microphone, whether that's USB or XLR. The thing that it drives me nuts is people will get shotgun microphones, which I've had. In fact, I've had a really, really nice shotgun microphone, and you put it out of frame. The problem is you don't get nearly as good of sound. And I don't know why so many people on YouTube kind of stray away from the larger microphones, but you're going to get much better sound that way, and it's going to be a lot cheaper. So USB, you know, microphone that way. I do have one. The Samson Q9U is probably my favorite USB microphone. In fact, I've got it right here. But it does XLR and USB. And it, for podcasts, for anything like that, it sounds amazing. It's, I think, like $120. So it's not bad at all. But definitely, like, some people, like, it's just cumbersome right here. It's going to give you much better sound. So that's what I would go with.
Yeah, man. That's always my thought, too. Because then I see people, too, using something like the 7B or the MV7 or the Q9, and they got it off camera and the gain's just ripping high trying to get it. These are, and what I always recommend, and I'd be curious because, you know, like, most people will stray to like something like a Blue Yeti, which is USB, but if they don't know how to work it, if they don't have it in the right room, it's picking up all this room noise, all this echo, as to where a dynamic mic, so that's a condenser microphone, but where a dynamic microphone is more directional, you get to speak to it or speak through it. So what is your thoughts there when it comes to condenser microphones? Uh-oh.
Yeah, I have a condenser microphone here. So this is the Blue Babybel SL. This is one of my top three microphones. I keep getting new ones, and so they rotate. I would say right now this one is either number one or number two as far as the sound and the look. Problem is, it is a large diaphragm condenser microphone. So what that means is this is super sensitive. And so in this room here, I have about $1,000 worth of sound treatment. But when my AC kicks on, you can hear it in this.
Yeah.
And I'll have it off to the side, but it's sensitive enough that I'll get some plosives or some noise pickup, even if it's off to the side. So it just picks up a lot more. And so this one right here, this is the Heil PR40, and it's a dynamic microphone, and I can turn the gain down enough that when it's silent, it is silent. You can't hear the AC, but you still pick up good sound. So when I first started, when I first upgraded everything, it's like, I like the condenser better. And I've come to learn that I really don't. I actually love the dynamic better because it rejects noise better. And if you can't afford to treat your room or your space, you're going to want a dynamic microphone, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, man, because I've had a room where it's been treated very well, but not proofed. So there's a big difference in sound treating and sound proofing, and that was my biggest, you know, hiccup with a condenser microphone. I'm like, this isn't a recording studio. This is just a studio. And so I don't have, yeah. I don't have everything sound treated, because that's like $20,000 or $30,000 versus $1,000 or whatnot.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a big thing for people to realize, especially if you're just getting started, you've never purchased a microphone, and you're just going on Amazon, you type in podcast microphone, you're going to see condenser microphones come up, and you, in my opinion, same as yours, Zach, I think you should steer away from those and look up more of a dynamic, and make sure it says dynamic in the listing. That way it's more directional, because, you know, you spend $100, $200 or $50 or whatever on a mic, and you're like, wow, I can still hear my dog barking three streets down,
yeah,
know, or whatever, somebody else's dog. It's annoying, man. It's annoying. So definitely looking to that.
You learn how to use them too. Like the story you talked about, the Blue Yeti. I don't have a Blue Yeti, but I have something similar. But the person that they, you know, asked me how to, like, why is my sound so terrible? And they had Blue Yeti, but they had it turned the wrong way, and they had it too far from their mouth. And so I was like, well, you know, just turn it around, put it close to your mouth, and then listen to it. Like, this sounds phenomenal. It's like, yeah, it does. Like, and honestly, some people also looking at this, you'd be like, oh, well, I speak into the top of it. And some of them you do, this one you don't, you know, this one you do speak into the top of. So just take, you know, 15 minutes and really learn the mic, just a couple of the basics, and you'll be good to go.
Yeah, man, that's good advice. And I always do that when I get a new, even with this new microphone, I'm like, oh, okay, how do I want to talk into it? What do I want to sound like? I got my in-ears in, trying to figure out what is the, you know, less plosives and the best placement for the microphone. So there's a couple of good options, man. You talked about the Samson. We've talked about a little bit about the MV7, which is basically, you know, same thing, same operation, either XLR or USB. Is there any other microphones that you recommend for, and I'm talking about beginners, but there could be, you know, maybe advanced or pro level as well.
If beginner, especially for podcasts, I think those are probably your best options. I do have a couple of other options here, but if you're just, oh, actually, you know what? Let me grab one. There's a couple here, and I just got these in, and I didn't really think about this because I did just get them. Let's see. So these are from Heil. Yeah, this is actually the one I'm looking for. So this is the PR22. I was on a call with the, I think she's the chief marketing officer or something like that, and she was using this. I was like, that looks weird. Like, I would never use one of those. But I think the reason she's using it is a sound isolating microphone. And so her office is to like a highway. She's like, there's cars going on. There's tons of stuff going out there. It's like, I can't hear anything.
Wow.
And so while this doesn't look maybe the best, like I would prefer the look of this. It sound like it sounded amazing, and it rejects noise really well. And it's about $170. So it is XLR. All of the Heil microphones are XLR. I do prefer that, but you can have this plus, you know, I use the Wave XLR. You're about $340 for that setup. So it is a little bit more, but it's not crazy. Like this microphone and cage right here is $450. So you can't even, it's not even close.
Yeah.
That's probably the next one. If you want to elevate a little bit from some of the, like a USB microphone, and you don't want to treat your room and you've got a lot of noise on, that's probably what I recommend.
All right. Yeah, man, if somebody can make a microphone that would make your kids not bleed through, that
not exist,
I'm just gonna put that out there. Like, whatever frequency my kid yells through the door at, like, if you guys could make sure it cuts that out off, that would be great. A little customize it, you know, like record your kid yelling and then put it in the software, like eliminate that sound. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I feel you there. Like, it's not low cut filter, it's kid filter.
Yeah, it's like customized kid filter. Like, there we go. So we talked about a little bit about USB and then XLR. So if you have an XLR microphone, then you got to have an interface. So what kind of interface are you using?
Yeah, so I have the Wave XLR. So I originally purchased, I think it was the Audient Evo 4, and it has two imports. It was a little plasticky feel, but the real thing that I didn't like is it wasn't super easy to use. It's one of the easiest ones to use. I was like, this is the first experience I have with an interface, and it's got a few things going on. I could have learned it, but the Wave XLR, especially if you're beginning, it's one knob, and it just cycles through like the gain and the volume on your microphone, your headphones, and then you can, you know, turn the mix of, do you just want to monitor your voice into your microphone? Do you just want to hear the computer, what's going on there? Or do you want a mix of both? And then there's a mute button on the back, and it's USB-C right into your computer. It is is super, super easy. It's like made for streamers, made for like, if you want to do video conferencing, it's amazing. So it's $160. So that the reason I like that one is just because of the easy use, and it's very unassuming. Like it doesn't take up a lot of space. I do love like the Rode, you know, Rodecaster, but it's huge. It's got a lot going on. It's complicated.
Dude,
and
it's huge. Yeah. I have one right here.
Most people
don't
need that.
It's just huge. I'm like, I was even telling somebody the other day, if it didn't have some of the built-in effects to it that I use for live streaming, especially like the noise gate where it like cuts all, you know, like whatever, I probably wouldn't use it. I'd probably just use, I mean, I've never even seen the Wave XLR, so I'm looking at it right now. I don't think I set up a scene to bring this up and look at it, but this thing is, well, let's just see what happens here. Yeah, there we go. Look at that. So that thing is pretty cool, man. That's like just dialed in, and then here's the back of it. So that thing is pretty dope.
Yeah, super simple. And the back is a touch mute. So when my kids come in the middle of the meeting, I just touch it. It mutes. It turns everything red, so you know it's muted. And then you just touch it again, and good to go.
Yeah, man. And I like it. I like this picture here. It's paired up against the Stream Deck. So I get the 15K Stream Deck as well. So that's about the same.
Got the same thing right here, just on the other side.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you got that. Yeah, that's the one I got as well. I wish I would have got the bigger one. Maybe I don't, because now you can do like. Anyway, we're gonna get into a rabbit hole here.
get really nerdy here.
Yeah, people are like, I'm just starting, man. Like, what's that?
Yeah, like, what is? Yeah, you don't need
bucks.
Crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. Wave XLR, good option for you. Stream Deck, you don't mess with that yet. Get everything else dialed in first.
All right, man. So that's cool that you're using the Wave XLR. I've never heard of it. I think I'm gonna have to check that out because, yeah, man, the Rodecaster Pro takes up. It's probably what, I don't know, six of those probably. You know, something like that.
Yeah, easily. Yeah, I think footprint on it is like it's tiny. It's maybe a little bit bigger than the bottom of this water bottle. Like it's small.
Yeah, man, that's awesome, and that's real simple. And I know when people are first getting started, it's kind of like, oh man, I don't want to learn all this stuff or whatever. And that just, I guess that just goes into your software, and you select it within your software that says Wave XLR. Yep. Pretty simple.
Yep, yeah, and it has a really easy to use software that comes with it. So if you want extra stuff, so like for example, when I do live streams, sometimes I'll do video editing, like behind the scenes. I'll edit my YouTube videos, and I'll kind of tell you why I'm doing what I'm doing and give you tips and tricks. I can pull in the sound from Final Cut Pro into there and then feed it into whatever I need. Or I can go in there, and it does have what's called Clip Guard. And so very, very simply, like if your microphone settings aren't set right, you can get some like really too loud and it clips off and you can't hear it well. It has a software that makes it so that doesn't happen. If you do have it turned up too loud, it will sound terrible, but it won't be clipping. And so if you are a beginner, it's nice because it kind of gives you some user-friendly features to keep the, you know, the things you really don't want to have happen from happening.
Okay. Heck yeah, man. That's awesome, dude. I love learning about new gear. My wife, if she's watching this, is going to be texting me in 5 seconds like, no. The answer's no. Stop. Don't hit buy.
And it's Elgato, so good luck getting stuff from them, but it's
not
so good.
Getting a brand
this
deal
arms
with those
Elgato
guys.
Like.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you got the which one do you have? You get the tall. I got the LP model.
Yeah,
okay,
so this is the not the low profile, the other one. But it's amazing. You can move it with one hand. Like I do have actually have another one on this side, but it's not the Elgato. This one's actually Heil's. I'll probably switch camera angles here real quick so I can test multiple microphones and show people.
Nice.
But this one's easier to move than most, but I definitely can't move it with one finger. And this one's just like, yeah, whatever. Where do you want to be?
Yeah, dude, I got the LP. So I got the low profile and I like it. I like it pretty good. Like it kind of gets in the way a little bit, especially with the Rodecaster Pro being on the same side.
Yeah. Okay.
And my desk is like, I can't mount stuff on the side because there's like little guards. So that's not fun. But anyway, I mean, it works good. And it just swivels right out of the way when I'm doing Amazon Live videos with my Rode Wireless
Air
2 that you're talking about. I'm just going to show that thing. I love that thing. So, okay, man. So let's see. What were we talking about? We talked about mics a little bit. We've talked about interfaces a little bit. Talk to me about the lighting that you use, because I think that is looks great. So let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. Actually, let me grab my phone real quick, and I'll hook up a third. Actually, I don't think I can do it on this software. We'll try it. I do have my phone, and I'll put it as a third camera angle sometimes so I can walk you around stuff. But when I first started, I just bought two little lights. They're the newer 480s maybe. And that works great enough. Like, it really does. Unless you're trying to do this professionally, you want to have a big setup, you don't need anything crazy. Let's see if I can, I don't think it's going to let me. That's okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, right here I have, it's Amaran 100D. It's a fairly big light. I mean, it's 100 watts, so it's not crazy, but the softbox on it's 35 inches across. So we're, you know, it's a big light up here. And then over my left shoulder, I have GVM 50RS. So they're not crazy big. I just have it turned down a little bit, a little warmer for some separation. The real kicker though is the blue in the back. It's a photo backdrop. It was a temporary setup. I really wanted to have some tube lights in the back and a bunch of stuff. I was like, it's going to be like $1,000. So I'll just buy a photo backdrop for now and throw an RGB light back there. And I've had so many comments on this setup, how it looks. They're like, how did you do that? It's amazing. And I'm like, it's literally the photo backdrop. And then right there is a light and like, oh, I love this. I'm like, well, maybe I don't need to spend $1,000. So we'll just keep this. And, yeah, that's pretty simple. I don't go crazy on lighting. I think for most people, if like make it compact, because this is huge, I would get like Elgato has a desk key light that you can use, and maybe some lighting in the background. Don't go crazy on lighting. You don't need to spend a lot on it unless you're really setting up a studio space.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I agree. And I'm like you. I got a giant 35-inch softbox as well. I think it's like a Godex. I can't remember, like a 60S. I can't remember what it is. I've had it forever. A friend of mine that's a photographer was like, yeah, dude, you got to get this. You got to check it out. And it's pretty dope, man. Like, I used to do way more cinematic shots with it. Now that I'm trying to do more Amazon stuff, I'm lighting this place up way more than I normally would. But you do want that softer look. And I've never used those LED panels. I have a couple on the way from a company that I'm going to check out. So I'm excited to use them because, man, this softbox is giant. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
Like, if I was going to take it and go produce someone else's show on location somewhere, it is just like, ugh, I got to tear it down. I got to put it in the bag. I got to do whatever. Yeah. And then I got to, take it out and then I got to put it back together. And the things to put it together are so tough. It takes me like 20 minutes. I'm like, ugh, if that thing snaps.
And a quick release softbox. I don't know if you've had one of those, but I used to have one because I would go do corporate shoots and it was amazing, but it's still like you have to like pull the things out and there's just a little clip that like springs out kind of like an umbrella. But it's still annoying.
Dude, yeah, those things are annoying. I was trying to figure out, let me switch over here real quick. I was trying to figure out if I had, oh yeah, dude. Okay, so I'm using my phone like disappeared, but here you go. There you go. You can see that big giant softbox that I have. And then I just use this little guy just for a little additional light. And then I just use that to light other stuff over there that I should have turned that light off, actually. But anyway, so yeah, man, there's a little floating cam. My phone screen is green, or my phone case is green.
Okay. I was like, how is, like, is the software just know you're holding? So, like, what the?
Yeah, that's cool. Dude, I don't want you guys seeing my super secret phone, so there it is.
You'll never know what I have.
This is the beauty of green screen. I can get a magic cloak out here in a minute and disappear completely. You guys will never see me.
That's awesome.
Well, man, and that's that's the funny part too about your backdrop, because I ran into the same thing. I got the studio space. I moved home from Puerto Rico, and I was like, it was a 90-day goal to have a studio. And then a friend of mine has a building. They're like, hey, you can rent one of the rooms for us, and blah blah blah. I'm like, oh, it's too good of a deal to pass up. And I couldn't figure out what I wanted to put back here. And for Amazon, I just used two floodlights and changed the colors and do whatever on a white wall. And then for this show, I was like, man, I want to do something different. I just don't know what it is. And I tried a bunch of different things. And finally, I was just like, I'm going to go green screen and be a little bit cheesy, which I don't know. What's your thoughts about green screen? Are you a fan or not so much?
So I've never used a green screen. I do like, how you have the effects, though, because most shows are split and what you're doing is unique. I like it. So it's the same on, so I have like 2,000 followers on TikTok, and I'll go live on there occasionally, but I'll create this banner looking thing where it just has a circle where you can see my face, but everything else around it will say my username, what we're talking about, where you can find me, stuff like that. And people all the time, how are you doing this? Like, are you streaming from your computer? What's going on? I'm like, no, it's just it's a filter. You can do this. And just because it's different, it gets noticed. And so I like how you're doing this, especially since you're switching back and forth like that. I think it looks unique, and know, it makes it a signature show for you. So personally, I don't think I'll ever use a green screen, just because I don't need it. Like, I have a 16 by 16 room here that I can use, so angle things if I really need to. But I think this is about as close as I'm gonna get. Like, when I had my phone set up before, you could see the top of the photo drop. I was like, oh, this looks terrible. So I have this shot set up just perfectly so you can't see the edge over here.
Yeah, that's funny, man. Yeah. Well, dude, that's like, I'm in a, it's decent. It's like 13 by 14 studio space here. Now, what I had to do, though, because all the surfaces were flat, the ceiling is like warehouse style, so it goes up to a metal roof. So I had to hang a bunch of stuff on the wall. So I really, there's probably one good wall to use, and the rest of them I'd have to get creative if I wanted to. And it's like black, which I maybe should, I mean, whatever. You can shoot in front of black. It looks cool, whatever. Yeah. Just light it up. But anyway, man, I had to do all that just to get this sound, because you would hear yourself like four times when you'd talk in here.
Yeah.
It was insane. So a little sound treatment. But yeah, for tip, I mean, for, I don't know what you do for sound treatment, but I literally, this room was so big, I literally went to Walmart and bought king-size quilts and just tack them onto the wall. And it like, it like deadened the sound like crazy. And then for the ceiling, which no one's going to have to do this unless they have this warehouse style, I went and got off of Amazon, went and got those big room dividers and just hoisted them up there and clamped them onto the rafters or whatever. So little tip for everybody out there. And those room dividers work great too. If you have a small space and you just need to like block off just like around you. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have hardwood floor in like 90% of this house. We just moved here like 10 months ago. And this is the one room in the house that didn't have a light up here. It didn't have a light fixture. There's no light fixture in this entire room. It's the only room in the house like this. I'm like, okay, cool. But it's hardwood floors, hard walls, obviously, like everything. So I think it's ATS sound panels. Maybe they make like do it yourself kits. You save a little bit. You can just buy them.
Oh, okay.
But I have several around. So I've got, I think it's 1, 2, 4, 6 on the walls. And then it was still echoey. I was like, what is going on? So I actually took three of them. I screwed them together and they're bolted to the ceiling directly above my head. and that did it. So, but yeah, I have nine sound panels. And then I have some moving blankets like tacked above. There's a closet and it's hard wood. And so just tacked over that so it doesn't echo back at me.
Yeah, man, I always love it when people are like, dude, your studio space looks so great. I'm like, yeah, if you saw what I see, you'd be like,
yeah, if you saw anything but that.
Like, you put every pile of crap you had in there just to deaden sound. I'm like, dude, when I lived in Puerto Rico, it was all concrete. So I literally, like, we rented an Airbnb, and they had, like, two twin beds and a full bed in one room. And I literally broke down the beds and took the twin mattresses and, like, put them in the corners. And but like, I didn't bring my big light with me, so I had like a ring light with a white pillowcase over it. I'm surprised I didn't catch that place on fire, dude. It was crazy. But that's what I love about all this stuff is like, there's really no rules in doing it. It's just kind of being creative. And I use some old my boom arms and adapters. Like one of my favorite tools in this whole office is like this little adapter right here.
There you go.
That will adapt anything to, like, it's like a, I don't know what size it is, but regular mic stand to like your camera. And so you can mount your cameras, or I mount this little ball adjustment things all over the place and move cameras around and do overhead shots and all kinds of fun stuff. So it's really just hodgepodging stuff together at some point. I'm like, wow, I can't believe I'm doing this. But anyway.
I think that's the beauty of this. Everyone's content is unique. Everyone's message and purpose and mission is unique. And everyone's studio is unique. Like, there's nobody that has exactly what you have, which is great. So make it your own. Like, enjoy it. And like, some people are like, I want this to be simple. I'm like, okay, I have an app that will work for your phone. We'll set your phone up and you won't ever have to buy crazy camera equipment. That's great.
Yeah.
Other people are, unfortunately, maybe a little perfectionistic, and we focus too much. And you know, no one, unless I say it, no one would ever know that the difference between this shot is a $1,300 camera setup. If you take all the extras off, just camera and lens, $1,300, and then you swap over to this one and you're at $4,000, like, nobody's going to know the difference for that. Mm-hmm. I will. I enjoy that. I know the difference. Nobody else does. And so it's for you. Don't think you have to buy a $4,000 camera or that you have to have a camera, quite frankly. You can do with what you have. If you want to be a content creator and you really want the perfect setup, well, what's your perfect? I use Fujifilm cameras. I don't think I've met another creator who has a dual Fujifilm camera setup. Like, everybody else uses a different brand. That's fine. I find a lot of joy in it. So what do you find joy in? What do you actually want to put time and effort and money into? And do that. It's yours.
Yeah, man. I love that, because I think a lot of people will not hit go live. They will not hit the record button. They will not do anything because they look at the people around them and say, well, I don't have that, you know, I don't have that gear. I don't have that camera. I don't have that microphone. And man, when I first got started in podcasting in, I don't know, 2018 or something, not even that far ago. And we were doing actually a live stream fishing podcast. And I literally borrowed camera from my neighbor, used my phone for another camera, borrowed microphones from friends, mic cables, and like, I just borrowed everything. I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to do this long term. I don't even know what this means or what it looks like. And I did, you know, I did produce for other people in their business, like for a nonprofit for like 10 years, working in media and cameras and lights and all that fun stuff. But it was all on their credit card, not mine. So when it became my credit card or my bank account, I'm like, bro, I'm going to go over here and try to find the budget friendly stuff to get started with. And then you can upgrade and increase. And then as a creator, you really do start finding what you really need. Like I had all Canon cameras, I had three Canon cameras, all this glass and all the stuff. And then I realized after a while, like, man, I don't really, for what I'm moving into, which is more Amazon, more product review stuff, I'm like, I really need a Sony camera that's going to autofocus super fast and have product recognition and all these kinds of things. And so it's similar to, as you grow as a content creator, your gear and all that stuff will kind of grow and flow, and you'll figure out new stuff that you know, didn't know, whatever. Like, I didn't know Sony like did what it did until I watched all these live streamers, and I'm like, what the crap are you guys using to where everything's just like autofocus like so fast? Uh-huh. Like, this is insane. Yeah. And then when I figured it out, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna sell all my gear and go buy much cheaper cameras that do just what I need it to do, not all this other stuff. So anyway, yeah. I get off my soapbox now.
I think you're right on. And it's sometimes we get like, this is the Fuji X-H2S, the brand new one. And the audit, like the old camera that I have, the XS10, the autofocus is meh. And this one, the problem is it's really good at recognizing faces. So if you don't fully cover up your face, it still likes to try to find your face. But it has everything I need. I probably could have gotten what I wanted in a Sony, like, to be honest, because it is the autofocus, but I love the colors. I like, that is something that I'm very sensitive to. And so it's what I like. So I'm willing to spend the extra money. Also, it's kind of niche. And I think when you're creating content, one of the things that you need to do is, I hate that for a long time, it was like niche down. And then I kind of got away from that. And now I'm back to, you know, create content you like, answer a specific question, but do it for a smaller group. Because if you're trying to talk to too large of a group without having a large following, nobody's going to hear you because you're competing against the big guys, which is kind of what I was doing for a while. And my audience is like 40,000 across the platforms, but it's not big enough to compete with 8-10 million. But if I just go down one level and say, instead of just YouTube, I'm YouTube for people trying to build their authority, become a thought leader or video podcast. Like, there's a few things there that still working the kinks out, but it's a much smaller group. Like, sorry, just the podcasting, active podcasters is a very, very small group. And so then I'm that person, because the big guys don't want to be the small person because they're big now. So find your lane, find your little thing that you want to talk about and things that you enjoy. Like, I love the X-H2S. It makes me so happy to like pull it out and take pictures with it. And it's just a thing, but it's my thing. So, you know, find your thing.
Love it, man. Love it. Yeah. Find your thing. And if you need help finding your thing, Zach's going to help you do that, man. So let's talk about, as we kind of wrap this up, let's talk about your course. Let's talk. Is it a free course? Yeah. I don't know if you said free. I don't know if you said cheap. I don't know if you said 5,000. I don't know. I forgot what you said.
$1 million.
It's only one Bitcoin. Like, anybody, you guys are in. One Bitcoin. That's it.
So this course is actually free. So I don't know how many people out there have read Key Person of Influence. It's by Daniel Priestley. Absolutely love it. And one of the things that he says, and a lot of people are saying now, is it's like information is so readily available that if you're gatekeeping anything, your secret sauce, whatever it is. Like, you are not showing people that you're an expert, and you're going to, you know, suffer because of that, because they can go learn it for free anywhere else. What they can't do is implement that knowledge effectively and efficiently for their specific situation. And you, as the expert, have, you know, the experience and the ability to do that. So sell the implementation. And so this course is, it's 30, I think it's 30 minutes long. Essentially, it teaches you how to make 10 videos from a video podcast with like 60 to 90 minutes of effort a week. And that's including recording your podcast. Wow. So if you're trying to post more content and you just don't have time for it, and honestly, you could teach a virtual assistant how to do this. It's that simple. You can go ahead and do that. That's free. I put that at gift.wearevideomakers.com. I'll get you the link, but that one's free. I am building other courses that will come after that, and those won't be free. They'll go from slightly expensive to very expensive into working with me one-on-one, which will be very expensive because I don't have very much time right now, but this one's on me. It's free.
Awesome, man. Well, that's a great gift, and I'll put the I'll put it in the show notes and let people know where to go get it. Man, we didn't talk about headphones, but we'll make it really easy. Wear headphones, all right? I don't care if you're just recording video or you're going live or on a Zoom call or whatever. Just wear headphones, okay? Like, there's so many out there. Just wear them. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Especially if you're 100% a guest on another person's show. Just wear headphones.
And you don't want echo because, goodness gracious, that is the most annoying thing.
Yeah. I mean, if you like to hear yourself repeat and stutter while you're talking, then don't wear headphones. And you want to be annoying and never get invited on another show, don't wear headphones. There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, Zach, it's been a blast having you on, man. It's good to, you know, start this relationship with you to learn more about what you're doing and, you know, help get the message out about what you're doing. And so really appreciate you coming on the show, sharing all your knowledge with video and audio. And I know we'll do some more collaboration stuff and maybe over on Amazon Live. We didn't even talk about Amazon Live, but I know you're over there crushing it. So I'm excited to see that journey continue as well, man. So appreciate you being on.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I would love to do this again. There's so much we can talk about, but I'll have to have you on a podcast, Amazon Live, all the good things as well. Appreciate
it. Let's go, man. It'll be fun. Yeah. We get to do a collaboration on Amazon Live. That'd be a lot of fun. So just let me know. All right, Zach. Well, I appreciate you, man. I'm going to jump back over to, I think, what is my camera, or it might be, nope, it was not my camera. Here we go. There we are. I had to switch that back. So everyone, appreciate you jumping in. Thanks for joining us today here on Creating Daily. And be sure to do all the fun stuff with a like, subscribe, and share and all that stuff that everyone asks you to do all the time. And be sure to go to ritualmotion.com. Check out their platform. They're awesome. They're sponsoring the show, making this possible. And also join me next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. I'm going to have my friend Jody Krangle on. She is the voiceover queen. So she knows so much about audio. She leverages audio in a million different ways. And she's going to come on, and we're just going to talk about how you can also leverage your voice and leverage audio to grow your brand, grow your business, all that fun stuff. So be sure to mark that on your calendar, 4 p.m. next Tuesday. And I think that is it. I think that's it for me for today. I'm going to go back and start making some more videos for Amazon. And if you don't know about Amazon Live, go check out Tuesday's episode from Dan Currier. I'm going to actually upload the audio today to the podcast platforms, but it was along with Zach, so you can listen to those back to back. All right, high five long distance. Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you Tuesday at 4 p.m.